Amen. Genesis chapter 24. Thank you for being in church. Amen. Glad that you're here. I don't know about you, but I already enjoyed myself in Sunday school. So, looking forward to what the Lord has for us in our time together this week. It'll go quickly. It usually does. By the time we get to Wednesday, it just seems like it's flown by. And so I pray that we'll be able to slow down enough to watch it. They took your Bible with that, huh? That's good. Okay. Amen. Amen. Genesis 24, if you found your place, please stand for the reading of the Scripture, if you would. Very thankful to have Nathan over here and Garrett back here and certainly for Sarah. Sarah's over here, and Ashley's back there, and then Brian on the back. Did I get them all right? And Sarah is spelled, now listen, please. Sarah is spelled S-A-R-A. How many of you got it? Say it with me now. S-A-R-A. Her teachers always mess that up. Mrs. Howe, where are you? Amen. Is she in here? She's in the junior church. So, y'all be careful, amen, when you say your name. Amen. I just happened to be there just for that, didn't I, Sarah? It was perfect. Perfect timing. Anyways, we're so glad that you're here. Thank you very much, all of you, for being here, seriously. And hope you are able to enjoy church. You know, you can enjoy church, amen? And hope that the Lord would speak to you. I hope that the Lord would use this time in your lives, amen, and for each and every one of us. Genesis chapter 24. And verse number 1, and Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. He's old, he's thinking about the future without him and making some preparation, if you will, for his son, his very special son Isaac. The Bible says, and Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And the servant said unto him, Preadventure the woman will not be willing to go to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? He wants to make sure that he's doing what he's been asked to do. He wants to make sure he fulfills the duty that's been given to him. So he's looking for clarification. Clarification. And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. Don't bring my son to the land from where I came from. Notice, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, that swear unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. Very specific instructions that he's giving. The Bible says, And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. Instead of shaking hands, it was a way that they made a pledge. It was a very secure pledge, and they made this vow, this pledge together. And the servant then is going to take, and he's going to go away. Notice verse 10. The servant took ten camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. He's responsible for all of it. And he arose and he went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Notice verse 12. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. Father, help us, I pray. Give us a message that each and every one of us need. I pray that you would tailor fit it for each and every person. Lord, for whatever reason they might be here, Lord, you can speak to all of us in our heart. And I pray that you'd do that. Tailor fit the message so it be appropriate for each one. Use it in our heart, in our lives. And may you receive much glory from what's said and done. If someone here today is lost and they don't know Christ as a Savior, I pray that you would save them so that they can go to heaven and not suffer for all eternity in a place called hell. Lord, save them today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The conversation which is found here in chapter number 24 really begins back over at chapter number 11 and 12, which we won't take time to look at, but if you just allow me, I'll bring you up to speed with this this conversation. Is that Abraham was called to be a minister to a foreign land. He was sent to be somewhat of a missionary of sorts to this promised land that he was brought to. And this is going to be confirmed in chapter number 22 when he takes his son Isaac to the top of the mountain as God told him to do to make a sacrifice of him. And when he got there, God stopped him because God didn't want his son. He wanted his faith. He wasn't interested in killing his son. He was interested in surrendering his faith. And there was something that was between God and this man named Abraham, and that was maybe a devotion to his son. And so God checked him on that. And when he was willing to take and give forth his son as a sacrifice and God stopped him, then God blessed him. And God called what he did conquering faith. And he begins to give him all of this different land, if you will, that was there. And he gave him the land of the enemies, the Bible said, because he did this thing. Conquering faith. Because he responded by faith, God gave him that land. In short, this is exactly what happens when a missionary goes abroad. God takes their faith, their willingness to go to a foreign land, and he takes that faith and it becomes conquering faith. The area, the territory that they've been given to reach people for God. And it's all part of the work of the kingdom of God. Now, I don't have time to go into that whole lot, but you go back and study it for yourself and you'll find it there. Then we come to chapter number 23 and his wife dies. His precious wife, Sarah. They've been so long together, Sarah and he had been so long together, been traveling and all that, and then she dies. And he needs a place of burying for his wife. And so he buys, if you will, of sorts, a cave in Machpelah. He buys that cave to be a place where he can bury his wife. But I like chapter number 24 because now he's thinking about the future of his son. And I would have you to notice that he doesn't find a wife for his son amongst a burying place. He's going to find a marrying place, which is going to be back over on his birthplace. And you find, if you will, and I don't have time for this, you find the picture of sanctification. You don't take and get your wife, your valuables, your things from this world, you get them from a heavenly place. And the idea that is given here is that a burying place and a marrying place are two different things. For those of us who are saved, we are not to look in this world for the things that would be heavenly things. We must look in the marrying place, which is going to be in heaven above. And that's when we will be united with Christ, when we become His bride. How many of you understand that? Amen. Now, we don't have time to go into that, but just let me just say that and then move on. Abraham sent his son to his birthplace. I want you to go back to where I was from. This is where I grew up. It's where my people are. I don't want you to have a wife from this strange place. I want to make sure my son has a wife from where I came from. And he was given this very special instructions. And then he's concerned. He's trying to figure it all out. And Abraham helps him to understand, you've got to strive lawfully. And if we're going to do this thing with God, we've got to strive lawfully. And so we certainly understand that. In other words, we have to do it right. Somebody who's going for the Olympics, what do they got to do? They got to obey the rules. If they don't obey the rules, they get disqualified. Are you with me? And it's the same for us. We've got to obey the rules of how God gave us to do it. And we have his rule book where? Come on now. Right there. Amen. It's right there. It's for all of us. It's accessible to each and every one of us. Now, how much we read the rule book will depend on how much we know about the rule book. We don't want to rely just on what somebody else tells us about the book. Come on, now, those of us that have been in school, those of you who may be in school now, you understand, if you will, the answers are going to be found in that textbook. But it's like my kids, so many times they go, yeah, I know, sometimes they're not. All right, okay. But my son, I tell him, I say, look, now all the answers are right there in the book. But my son doesn't want to read. He wants to answer the questions. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So he wants to move back to the questions. And then he tries to figure it out. And then he goes, try to go searching for the answers in the textbook. That way he doesn't have to read all of it, just read portions of it. Are you guys familiar with this? You college students, you familiar with this? Amen? So the idea is that if you read the manual and you don't just skim through it, you get more information. Is everybody with me? You've got to read the book. And so, striving lawfully. Now, this is a heavenly responsibility that's given to him, but he's not going to go alone. He's determined this. He makes this covenant that he's made, but he's not going to go alone. This particular servant is going to be commissioned to intercede, to be a go-between between Abraham, the patriarch, if you will, and Isaac, the son. And he's sent as the connector. He's the go-between. He's the conduit for his master, and he was about his master's business. That was the purpose of the journey. It was his master's goods, his master's camels, or his master's transportation. Are you with me? It was his master's treasures. That's what he had. Everything was in his hand, and he was fully commissioned to go out and do this. Listen, all this is in your hand. Now go do the job that I've given you. And there was reason for him to go with the expectation, if you will, that his master had this request upon him. In other words, he's not there on his own. He's doing this because it's what he was asked to do. He's commissioned by his master to do it. But he's not. It wasn't like just one day he got up and said, I'm just going to go do this. It's the same way it is for missionaries. They don't just get up one day and just say, I'm going to go do this. God calls them to something. A pastor's called here to South Carolina. There's a calling that's upon the life, a commissioning that's there. Go do this thing. So he's doing this for his master. Now, the timing and the position of it are right, where he's going and where he stands there at the well. He's going to that well. And then he's going to pray and he's going to acknowledge God. And he asked God to work this thing out specifically. When I say this, she'll say that. And I'll know that she's the one. Are you with me? Because he doesn't know. He's never been there before. This is a strange place. It's a weird place. Can you imagine, going this? Excuse me, ma'am. I got this strange predicament. My master's son, Isaac, okay, he's back over there in another land, and I've got to find a bride for him, and I was just kind of wondering if you and I could talk for a little bit, okay? I mean, that's kind of a weird way to try to start a first. Come on, you with me? You don't start a date that way. Come on, are you with me? Who's this old man, and what's he want? Yeah, Isaac. Yeah, like, I'm going to go back down to that. I'm going to go hundreds of miles away back with you. Right. That's not the way you do it. Are you with me? So he's in a little bit of a strange predicament in how he makes all of this kind of work out. In verse 13, if you will, behold, I stand here by the well of the water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Now, which one is it? Among the many different women who come out to draw water, which one's it going to be? In fact, in truth, if you will, again and again, that's what you and I see as regards to the well, that the Lord would help us to find one. Lord, help us to find one. And then help us to find another one. And then help us to find another one. That's what we do as we try to see souls saved and lives changed, isn't it? Help us to find the one today, and help us to find another tomorrow, and help us find another tomorrow. But he's looking for a specific one. One who is going to be precious and valuable, and certainly that's what we're looking to do when we go for the one. Lord, help us to find the one. Now, this is a heavenly responsibility, one that he realized that he could not do on his own. So he put the burden on the Lord. I like that. He asked God to help him. Said, Lord, I can't do this. I'm not qualified to do this. I need your help. I need your favor in this. Specifically, this is a divine appointment that he's looking for. I'm going to say this, and she'll say this. I'll say this, and this is how she's going to answer. How important, if you will, the many different people, as we're thinking about salvation, that there's a divine appointment that we're looking for. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm going out and I'm looking. Lord, help me. And in John chapter number 4, we find Jesus going out to the well and he witnessed himself to this woman who didn't know who he was. He's standing there at the well with the woman at the well and he's talking to her and she doesn't know he's Jesus. Come on now. But it becomes a divine appointment whereby Jesus witnessed himself. And we can learn a lot about how Jesus witnessed to her, couldn't we? Now, as an ambassador and a representative for his master, because that's what he is, right? He's been tasked, given a responsibility by his master. He represents as an ambassador the same way an ambassador from the United States would represent the interest of the United States. And it's the same thing that the Bible speaks about, that God gives to us as believers, as Christians, that we are his ambassadors in this world. We're his representatives. We're not to do it the way we want to do it. We're not to kind of do it. And that's how religion kind of gets messed up. You find a lot of different churches and people come into a church and they go, well, which one do I go to? This one says do it that way, and this one says do it this way, and this one's doing it that way, and this one's doing it. And there's a lot of different churches. I was talking to a guy yesterday who grew up as a Mormon. And now he's disgruntled with his Mormon raising, if you will. And he says to me, he says, I don't know if there is a God. He proclaims that he's an agnostic. He says, I'm not against the idea of God. He said, I think it's a good idea about there being some sort of God. I just don't know about this plan or how it all works. Why? Because of the way he was raised. The system by which he was raised in made it confusing for him and it made it difficult. Do you understand that there's billions of people out there who are the same way? They're confused. They don't know what to believe. And how can you blame them? And certainly Satan's going to make it as confusing as he possibly can because he doesn't want them to know. So he makes it very difficult to find out, well, which one is the right way? Which thing do I believe? And that's where ambassadors come in. That's where God's representatives come in. Just as he's there, that he's there and he's at the well and he's waiting for the right one and he's saying, God, tell me, is this the right one? He received his master's instruction, his command to go, so he went. He had done all that he could. He traveled to where he was supposed to travel to, went to the meeting place. He had his master's provision. He's ready for her arrival. He's prepared with what to say. And all that's left to do is that God would give him favor. And in that, he rests. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. Same thing. That God is going to have to do this thing if this thing is going to get done. And then the answer was, on the way, notice, even before he prayed. Notice, verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. And she just happened to be the right one. Even while he is praying, he's talking to God. It came to pass before he had done speaking. Can I say that God wants it more than you do? Amen. He's not trying to play games. That God wants to grant us favor. And he desires, if you will, to give us fruit for our labor. That he's ready, he's willing, he's anxious for you and I to fulfill the commission that's there. He just tells us to go. Would you just please go? I'll favor your way if you just go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Just go. Can I say that God wants it more than you do? And if you and I go with the mindset, if you will, that he's going to be there, that we're there doing his business, and that if you and I strive lawfully that he's told us to do, then we don't have to fret and worry. Because if we're in the place he's told us to be, doing what he's told us to do, we will please him in time. It'll happen just the way God wants it to do. And then the answer is going to be there even before we're done speaking. Notice, before he's done speaking, she shows up. And then look at verse number 23, if you will, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. Those are the names that he needed to hear. You go back over and you study where Abraham came from. Those are the names he needed to hear. She said, moreover, unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and notice he worshiped the Lord. He realized God had favored him. Whose daughter art thou? And it was a way of asking for verification. And then he worshiped when she said what she said. Can I say to you, he went prepared. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Ask believing and you can go away receiving. He went prepared. He was expecting for God to answer his prayer. As he is with this woman, he gives her some jewels. Then he goes to the family's house and he gives them jewels. Where do these jewels come from and why does he have them? Because he was prepared when he went. He went expecting that God was going to bless him in his journey. I want to say to you, the servant didn't say this. Well, this is an impossible journey. Finding her is going to be like finding a needle in a haystack. I mean, why even go looking for this woman so very far away amongst all these people? She's probably moved. She probably doesn't live there anymore. There's probably not any girls left. Why even make the effort? I don't want to be discouraged and I don't want to be distracted or disappointed. Why even go? I'll just go to a little town just down the road. I'll stay there long enough and then I'll make it look like I did what I was supposed to do. Who's going to really know the difference? You know, that's how a lot of people treat it. That's exactly the way that many believers who sound more like an unbeliever say that they come to the work of missions. Well, who's going to really believe in this day and time? I mean, why even labor for souls? Because people don't get saved anymore. People's lives don't get changed. Unfortunately, many people say, what's the use? They have a very half-hearted, lackluster effort toward this issue of faith. But because he went, he came receiving. Now watch this. Go to chapter number 61. All that introduction to get us to here. Amen? Look at verse number 61. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah, and he went his way. Verse 62 of chapter 24. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lehiya, Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. He lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. He's going to meditate, and here she comes. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The end. How many of you like happily ever after? Amen. What a great story. Isn't this a great story? What a romance. Come on now. And then as I'm reading it, now watch this. I got to the end and you know what I realized? This is a blind date. This is a blind date. How true it is, if you will, you think about Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's a blind date. You realize that's what has so many people bothered with regards to religion is that they can't prove it? The guy yesterday that I was talking to, the Mormon that I was talking to, that's his problem with it. He's looking at it. He says, I can't touch it. I need to be able to feel it, know that it's real. I want to be able to touch it. They have a problem with this thing of faith. You know what I told him? I said, do you understand it takes you as much faith to disbelieve God as it takes me to believe God? I said, you can't prove it ain't true. He said, well, that's true. I said, you're expecting me to prove it is. I said, you can't prove it ain't. Come on, I know that's not good English, but I'm not teaching English today. Come on now. We'll do English tomorrow or something, all right? We're not doing English right now. By the way, don't write down ain't, because Mrs. Howe don't like ain't. Amen. Huh? I tried to get her to edit one of my books one time, and I thought, no, I don't know if that's a good idea or not. Amen. This is a blind date. That's what the woman at the well, it was a blind date. She didn't even know she was talking to Jesus. He's talking to her, it's just kind of going on, and then all of a sudden, she says, I know that Messiah cometh, and he says to her, I am he. It's the idea of having a blind date. Anybody ever had a blind date? Is that him sitting next to you? Okay, we're going to do an eye test, ma'am. Here's what we're going to do. Just to sit. Brother Haynes, is that what happened to you? Oh my, are you serious? How many years? Oh my. Blind date. I know you're kind of wondering. Yeah, when I was 17 years old, this was BS before I was saved. Come on now. Friend of mine, a questionable friend of mine, had a cousin come from out of town. He said, she won't go out with me unless I get her a date for my cousin. I'm like, man, I ain't doing that. I don't know nothing about what's your cousin look like. He said, I don't know. I never met her. I said, I ain't doing that. I said, I'm not getting stuck with some ugly woman the rest of the night. That's too unpredictable. That's too awkward. It's too uncomfortable. Conrad, come here for just a minute. You stand up here. And then I finally get to meet Bertha Gertrude Bigowski. And I woke up and they say, oh, well, hi, this is my cousin. You with me? This is my cousin, Bertha. Hi, Bertha. Would you guys get a picture together? Come on, I'll step up here, if you would. There you go. Yeah, Bertha, we're not going to be able to get you. Could you kneel down and get in the picture? There you go. Get in the picture. Yeah, thank you, Bertha. I appreciate that. And then we were going to go for a ride. And my friend has a two-seater. He had a Plymouth Barracuda two-seater. Literally, it's a four-seater technically, but the back seat and the seat. Anybody ever know what I'm talking about? How many ever ridden in one of those before? You know what I'm talking about? So then, Bertha, you get in if you would. Get in the back seat. All right. All right. No, you're going to have to, we got to close the door, so you got to put your legs up here, Bertha. All right, scoot all the way in, Bertha. This isn't going to work. Come on, get all the way in. Scoot all the way over, Bertha. All right, now, Shannon, you get in the back with Bertha. Bertha, could you bend your knees up just a little bit? I promise you there wasn't no romance in the back seat, amen? No, you got to get your feet back up there, Bertha. You can't put your feet on the floorboard. Ain't no way. How many repeat after me? Just take me home. And he wanted to ride around all night because he thought his girl was cute. Are you with me? How in the world am I supposed to shut the door? All right, come on. You did good. I can't believe I get myself into some of the things I get myself in. Amen? Look back at our passage of Scripture. He doesn't know anything about what he's getting. And then we get to verse number 15. Notice with me, please. It came to pass before he had done speaking, and behold, Rebekah came out. Verse number 16. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, and a virgin. Neither had any man known her. She went down to the well and filled the pitchers and came up. Can I say this to you? She wasn't ugly. That servant, when he prayed, if you go back and you study his prayer, he's asking for a lot of things, but one of the things that he didn't ask for was a beautiful woman. I mean, every detail, if you took every different detail in accordance with the commission as he was asked, the request, Abraham didn't say, hey, go get my son a beautiful wife, and the servant didn't say to the Lord, make sure she's a pretty girl. Make sure that she's fair to look upon. Neither one of them asked for it. But God gave him a beautiful woman. You know why? Because God always does more than you ask Him to do. More than you could ask or think, the Bible says. See, it's good to be saved from an eternity in hell. Hell is going to be a very ugly place. There's a lot of people that are on a blind date. They're headed toward hell. And they're going to get an ugly place. A place of burning, a place of fire. Something you didn't necessarily ask for is you didn't ask for heaven to be beautiful. You just wanted to be saved from an ugly place. Can I say to you, heaven's a beautiful place. The Bible describes much about hell and it describes much about heaven. And I can say to you with confidence, heaven is a beautiful place. The jewels and the treasures and all of those different things were worth it. They were given to a trusted servant. You know what I got asking myself with regards to this? Am I a trusted servant? Am I a faithful servant for the Lord that I can bring back, if you will, some beauty for my master in heaven? The commission that I've been given with regard, am I a trusted servant? Am I a faithful servant sent on an eternal errand to bring back, if you will, a bride for the Master's Son? Jesus. Is not that what we've been called to do in bringing souls for Christ? Are we not participating in the finding and the witnessing and the bringing of souls to the Savior? Jesus said to the disciples, I am the way. He didn't say being good is the way. He didn't say, hey, do enough good works and that's the way. He said, I am the way. You know the way people get saved? Here's the thing about the woman at the well. It wasn't a matter of how bad she was or how good she was. That wasn't the question. See, a lot of times people say, and I did prison ministry for years, and they'd say, I'm too bad to get saved. Well, that's not the question. Then you have somebody else that says, well, I'm too good. I don't need to get saved. Well, that's not the question. Both of them are wrong. There's nobody too bad to get saved, and there's nobody too good that they don't need to be saved. The answer is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way. It's not about recognizing how good we are. It's recognizing how good God is. Let me say that again. It's about recognizing how good God is. And when you recognize how good God is, that changes everything. Amen. The blind date is the business of bringing people to Christ. The blinders are going to be removed one day, if you will. And the Bible gives us some thoughts like this. Ready? Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall be known also as I am known. We see through a glass darkly right now. It's a blind date. We've not seen Jesus. Come on now. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all nations or all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. One day, we're going to see Jesus. Amen. I give to you this particular thought. There's a Matthew chapter 25, and verse number 1 says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bride. And the Bible says, and 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. 5 put their trust in the Word that was given to them. The other put their trust in themselves. They were just kind of lazy and waited around and says, I can do this heavenly business whenever I want to. And guess what? They failed. Who did they fail? Themselves. This thing of a blind date is about one day meeting Jesus. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, you don't know. Well, you don't either. So I told the guy yesterday, well, you don't either. But if I get it wrong, then I just kind of go where you do, to nowhere. If you get it wrong, you're going to hell.
That's right.
If I get it wrong, I've tried to live a good life as best as I could after I got saved.
Right.
Come on now, because I couldn't before I got saved.
Right.
Couldn't trust in my own good work. Somebody say amen. Come on now.
Yes, right.
And the reason I did it was I want to please my Lord as best I can.
Amen.
Is everybody okay with that?
Yep. Amen.
Why? Because when I see Him, and He sees me, the blind date's over.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes in this life, the blind dates can be very uncomfortable and unpredictable and very difficult. But when you and I get to heaven and see Jesus, it'd be a beautiful thing. She was fair to look upon. But if your blind date takes you to hell, it won't be good. How do I know? The Bible tells me so.
Amen.
And I'm going to trust the Bible more than I'm going to trust something I just make up in my head. Stand with me if you would. Your head's bowed and eyes closed. We as Christians have a wonderful opportunity to be a part of helping to bring blind dates, if you will, together with the Lord. Those that are lost. Those that are not saved. Those who have not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. I would say today is the day to do so. Now is the day of salvation. Nothing more important than that. Nothing more important than that. Most important decision you'll ever make. Maybe you'd say something like this, say, preacher, I don't know what you mean when you're talking about somebody being saved. I'm not going to come back to where you are, but maybe you just raise your hand and say, I think I need to know more about what you're talking about. And you'd raise your hand and say, please pray for me. Anybody like that? I don't know all that you're talking about when you're talking about this thing in Jesus. How many of you say today, you say, you know what, I'm lost and on my way to hell and I admit it. I know that. Would you please pray for me? And you'd raise your hand up nice and high and say, please pray for me. Anybody like that? Okay. Now, that means everybody should be saved since nobody raised their hand. So I'll ask the question this way. How many of you that you know right now, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know for sure, you have no doubt about it, you're on your way to heaven when you die, you'd raise your hand nice and high as a testimony to the Lord. Hold it up nice and high. Thank you very much. Amen. You can put them down. Some of you can't raise your hand with confidence. I hope you'll get that settled even today. Father, thank You for the opportunity to stand before these people, and I pray that You'd help all of us as we're on a sort of a blind date with You. Although You've given us in Your Word what we need to know, we have all we need to know. We know about Your beauty, and we know about Your grace, and we know about Your mercy, and we know about Your compassion and kindness. We know much about heaven. We know about future things based upon the book of Revelation. I pray that as we have these things to our knowledge, that we would use them to take and bring others to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ who don't know. And that You would use this so that we might see souls saved and lives changed. Lord, I pray that You'd help even today those that are lost who need to be saved, that they'll come to that saving knowledge. Those that are saved, that they would accept the responsibility, that they won't look at it as optional, but realize they need to be like that servant who went out to look for the one. Help us to do that, I pray, without fail. We love you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' precious name.